The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we'll pick up our reading today with verse number 7 and continue our thoughts on marriage and Paul's instruction. But first, for a word of prayer, Father, we ask now for your grace and help as we seek to preach the Word of God. I pray the hearts of your people would be encouraged and you would strengthen us by the truth today. Receive all the glory. Lord, testify of your truth in the hearts of men. Make it live. God, help us to yield and our lives be changed accordingly. Lord, reprove where we need to be reproved. Instruct and encourage where we need instruction and encouragement. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen and amen. We've come now to chapter 7, verse 7, having looked at the duties and dangers inside marriage in the first 6 verses, and now we look at Paul's advice in the area of marriage. Duties and danger, spelled out admonition, things that must be heeded. Now we find advice, again, things that must be heeded if there would be blessing in the life, and many want to point to this passage and verses 10 through 12 specifically, and say that Paul was not inspired of the Holy Ghost while writing this portion of the chapter. I will disagree with that and say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. And so for certain, we can say that Paul is still under the direct influence of the Spirit of God as he writes these words and as God has preserved them for you and for me to this very day and hour, and they are therefore inspired and should be received as the God breathed words of the living God. And so I believe what Paul is saying here, he is actually referencing the teachings of Jesus Christ our Lord in Paul's own mind concerning marriage. References such as Matthew 5, 31 and 32, Matthew 19, 1 through 12, Mark 10, 1 through 12, Luke 16, and 18. And Paul, he is about to deal with matters that our Lord did not address in those passages, but about which the saints in Corinth had wrote with questions. Paul does not disclaim inspiration. He does not discourage marriage. He does not discredit women in any way in the passage before us. We must say then there is scriptural advice here. It is sound, it is authoritative, and it is binding upon all believers, especially as we compare with verses 17 and verse 40. In fact, let's read verse 17 together. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Now go to the end of the chapter, verse 40. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. Now, Brother Alan Redpath, in his commentary, offers an explanation here that I think is helpful. He says, and I quote, "There is language here which is found nowhere else in all the New Testament." And in his book, he goes on to quote portions of verse 6, 10, 12, 25, and 40. Quoting again, "He is clearly drawing a distinction between specific instructions which he has received from the Lord by the Holy Spirit and his own judgment in cases where he has received no such instructions." In other words, he is using his own judgment supported by what he believes to be the authority of the Holy Spirit. That does not invalidate his teaching in any way. It does, however, recognize that in matters concerning marriage, there is no law so inclusive as to apply to every situation. Each case will call for the careful exercise of human judgment under the direction and authority of the Holy Spirit. I agree with most of what he said, and I will say, let us be careful in giving a wide idea to the matter of marriage. There are laws within the Scriptures concerning marriage that are inclusive and do apply to all people everywhere. One law, as found in the book of Genesis, that God established one man and one woman for life to be married until death do them part. But Paul gives his personal preference in chapter 7, verse 7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself." Now, I believe Paul was at this point for sure unmarried. Whether or not he had been married or had been completely a single man his whole life, I have not made up my mind yet. But he is no doubt here in an unmarried state, and therefore he gives that to be his personal preference. "I would all men were even as I myself." But then his personal persuasion, picking up in verse 7, down through verse 11. "There is truth that must not be forgotten." What truth? The truth that God works in the lives of individuals. He will couple some together in marriage, and he will call some to a single life of submission, sacrifice, and service to him. Notice in verse 7, "But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." And so perhaps Paul was a widower. Verse 9, "But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. Marry rather than burn in lust." Verse 10, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." Now, truth that must not be forgotten, back in verse 7. But we read of truth that must not be forsaken. For the unmarried and widows, there's a good place to be. That is, unmarried and widowed. Don't desire to change that if that is where God has placed you. But there's a bad place to be. It is to be unmarried and incontinent. Verse 9. If you cannot contain, then marry. Do not commit fornication. Now, what about the married? Verse 10. The wife should not depart. Verse 11. The husband should not divorce. Now, this word in verse 10 is said to the wife, but it is for both husband and wife. In Paul's day, from what I understand, it was the women who would separate but not sever the relationship, while it was the husband who would divorce and not simply depart from the wife. And so there is the obligation in verse 10, let not the wife depart from her husband. But then there are the options in verse 11. What are the options? If she depart, let her, number one, remain without a husband. Paul says, let her remain unmarried. Option number two, or be reconciled to her husband. Those are the options. If the spouse, the husband, the wife is living and there is departure, and God forbid there be divorce, but if it happens, let them remain unmarried or be reconciled. Then he closes in verse 11, and let not the husband put away or divorce his wife. Paul's personal persuasion. Now Paul's personal prescription. In verses 12 through 17, he gives a special declaration and then God's sovereign distributions in verse 17. I don't have time to deal with this passage in detail, but let me say this. There is that proper gift of God back in verse 7, reflecting to verse 17, as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. It is God who calls the individual. It is God who converts the individual. It is God who then clothes that individual with gifts and graces to serve the Lord and the body of Christ. We must surrender ourselves to God's will and God's way for our lives and walk therein, in that blessed sphere, in this life as a Christian, and in the churches. Paul says, and so ordain I in all churches. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.